Lake Tahoe's nutrient composition seems to be changing. Invasive species such as weeds and clams and nutrients added to the lake such as nitrogen and phosphorus can change the flora of the lake, which in turn affects the animals that can live there. Before they become flies that occupy beaches on a lake shore, midges live on the lake floor and look like small worms. Different midge species can survive in different nutrient conditions on the lake floor. The species of midges able to survive on the floor of Lake Tahoe are changing. Listen to the interview with midge expert Barbara Hayford for insight into this observed change and what it may indicate about the state of the lake.
So you mentioned that you've seen in your analysis that there's been a change in the composition of the species of chironomids that are in Lake Tahoe, mm-hmm. and that the decrease in diversity of species is something of concern. Can you give us a little bit more perspective on that? Is it a dramatic difference, and what does that mean for the public at Tahoe?
It is a significant difference. We find chironomids. They're very, very large component and a common component of any deep lake community. And the ones that we often find in deep lakes can indicate whether the lake is what we call oligotrophic, which has low nutrients, mesotrophic, middle amount or concentration of nutrients, or eutrophic, which has a lot of nutrients. And so those deep lake communities of midges or chironomidae are important because they indicate these things. So it's a bit of a, at least a concern to scientists that we're losing them at that region of the lake. As for the people around Lake Tahoe who come here and enjoy the lake, the only real impact I could think of is it may change a little bit the fish food or the fish biology. Those pupae that swim up through the water column might not be coming as commonly from the open area of the lake, which might change the food or trophic structure of the lake. But other than that, I don't think it'll be a significant impact to the people that come to Lake Tahoe, but certainly the scientists. I'm concerned about that.
Mm-hmm. And can you give us a bit more in terms of the scientists' concern from a general vantage point about biodiversity and the loss of biodiversity as indicated by the decreasing diversity of chironomid species?
Yes. Well, anytime we do see a pretty big loss in biodiversity in a region, that's a cause for concern. So that means that there has been a change to the physical and chemical environment, and we'd probably want to know why. So right now, we've noticed a change. We really need to go back in there and figure out what's happening. Ironically, we've actually seen an increase in biodiversity closer to the shore. So the different numbers of species of chironomidae are increasing in the nearshore environment. And that's also curious. You know, that's good at first to think that we're actually increasing biodiversity, but we want to understand why that is. Could it be that there's just more food for different species to eat? What has changed in the environment? So we want to know why there's been a change, what's been happening, and correlate what we're finding in the benthic community, these bottom-dwelling critters, chironomids included, and relate that to this vast amount of science that's been done on Lake Tahoe over the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm. So you are a pretty recent comer to the Lake Tahoe science community, and you were invited to come and to do this study, in part to do a comparison with other lakes around the world. Can you tell us a little bit about that study and what you found in these early stages?
I was invited to work with Dr. Sudeep Chandra at University of Nevada, Reno, and his faculty scientist, Andrea Carries, to work on chironomidae a few years ago. Andrea came out to my laboratory in Nebraska, and I trained her to work on the chironomids, and then we collaborated and completed the identifications, and we're working on the analysis now. So I've come out here for this meeting to finish some of our projects and to plan some future research that we'd like to do. And that's been my involvement. It's been incredibly exciting and interesting. This meeting has been very informative. It's been a really great mix of non-government organizations, natural resource managers at the state and the federal level, scientists all coming together to discuss this incredible resource. And on a personal note, in aquatic ecology, everyone knows about Lake Tahoe. It's a very, very famous ecosystem. It's famous because it's so beautiful, but it's famous because it's been so well studied for so long. So it's been an incredible opportunity for me to come work on the Coronamids. Well, we would like to finish our couple of projects, and the one that I talked about at the conference was a comparison of Lake Tahoe to two other large, complex, very old lakes, Crater Lake in Oregon and Lake Hovsgol in Mongolia. And what we were interested in was whether we could use Crater Lake and Lake Hovsgol as a reference kind of community, the Coronamid communities in those two lakes, because they have experienced less human change over the last 40 years in Lake Tahoe. Because the question really is, if you're seeing community changes in Lake Tahoe, where do you go to make a comparison? You can't just go over to some little lake nearby because the lake is so large and complex. And what we found is that especially the lake in Mongolia, Lake Hovsgol, that Coronamid community probably is similar enough to Lake Tahoe to serve as a reference by which we can compare change, especially in the deeper zones of the lakes. And what we also found was that the Coronamid community in Lake Tahoe has indicated a shift from what we mentioned earlier, the oligotrophic, to maybe a mesotrophic condition in certain parts of the lake. But in Lake Hovsgol and Crater Lake, we see that they're still indicating a very clean, pristine, ultra-oligotrophic to oligotrophic condition. So the comparison was very interesting that way, that we see the two lakes that have had less human impact, that they're still pretty oligotrophic, but we're seeing, for whatever reason, a switch in condition based on the Coronamid community in Lake Tahoe.
Fascinating. Well, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your findings, and we look forward to hearing from you subsequent to future study and getting an update on the Coronamids and finding out what role, if any, humans are playing in the diversity of the Coronamid species out there in the deep water. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a pleasure.
This is the end of the two-part interview with Dr. Barbara Hayford. Thank you for listening at tahoeproject.org.